And now Jill Bevilacqua presents the next episode in her drama series The Vatican Centuries, a look at the people and places who made up the history of the Vatican. Episode 11 is entitled The Pilgrims.
There must have been many pilgrims who came to Rome in the Dark Ages, but left no trace of their visits.
The Vatican was probably the goal for many an English pilgrim, but it was after the restoration of Christianity in England by the initiative of Pope Gregory that pilgrimages to Rome became a tradition.
It was in the year 596 that Pope Gregory sent Augustine to England, and later Paulinus to help Augustine in his mission. Paulinus spent 24 years in Kent, after which he evangelized the southern parts of Northumbria. The daughter of King Ethelbert of Kent, who had become a Christian, married Edwin of Northumbria, and so Paulinus found the way smoothed for him.
Augustine and Paulinus were not bringing Christianity to England for the first time. England had been Christian. A British church had grown up and sent its bishops to the early councils. England had produced saints and heretics, monks and martyrs.
But when the Roman legions abandoned the island, and during the long struggle with the Saxon invaders, the English church found itself isolated from the rest of Christendom. British Christianity lost its hold. For at least two centuries, the faith languished, kept alive only by the periodical appearance of champions like David, Patrick, and Columba. For the rest, England was plunged into heathen darkness.
When King Edwin gathered his chief advisers together to discuss the question of Christianity, the heathen high priest, Coifi, agreed to adopt the new religion if the Christian God would show favours to his followers. Then another counsellor spoke. His words are recorded by Bede.
The present life of man, O king, seems to me, in comparison of that time which is unknown to us, like to the swift flight of a sparrow through the room wherein you sit at supper in winter, with your commanders and ministers, and a good fire in the midst, whilst the storms of rain and snow prevail abroad. The sparrow, I say, flying in at one door and immediately out at another, whilst he is within, is safe from the wintry storm. But after a short space of fair weather, he immediately vanishes out of your sight into the dark winter from which he had emerged. So this life of man appears for a short space. But of what went before, or what is to follow, we are utterly ignorant. If, therefore, this new doctrine contains something more certain, it seems justly to deserve to be followed.
The earliest recorded English visitor to Rome was Benedict Biscop in 653. Then a young man of 25, Benedict was to return to Rome many more times. He came of a noble Northumbrian family and began life as a courtier, but later became a monk and founded the monasteries of Wearmouth and Jarrow. He was a man of wide learning and culture, and from Rome he brought back many treasures for the English churches, books, altar vessels, paintings and vestments. His pupil, Bede, was later to draw on Benedict's collection of books when writing his History of the English Church. In the year 680, with the permission of Pope Agatho, Benedict brought over John, the archcantor of St. Peter's, to teach his monks liturgical chant, as used in Rome.
Not long after Benedict Biscop first arrived in Rome, came Wilfrid, his countryman and contemporary. Wilfrid had entered monastic life at 14 and studied under the monks of Lindisfarne. But when he reached maturity, he began to be dissatisfied with the way of life taught there, and decided to go to Rome to see, as Bede puts it, what ecclesiastical and monastic customs were in use at the Apostolic See.
When Wilfrid arrived in Rome, Bede writes, he devoted himself to constant prayer and study of church matters, and won the friendship of the Archdeacon Boniface, who was also a papal counsellor. Under his guidance, he learned each of the Gospels in turn, and the correct method of calculating Easter, while through his tutor he came to understand many other things relating to church order about which he had known nothing in his own country.
Wilfrid was one of the chief spokesmen at the Council of Whitby in 664, which finally settled the Paschal question, which had long been a matter of dispute between the Roman and the Celtic churches.
Wilfrid, like Benedict Biscop, returned to Rome several times, but for different reasons. As Bishop of York, he was frequently absent from his see on missionary work, and this led to attempts to supplant him. Wilfrid appealed to Rome, going there in person and setting his case before the Pope. To Pope Agatho on the first occasion, and 5 years later to Pope John VI. Agatho heard his case, acquitted him, and declared him worthy of his bishopric. John likewise stated that he had been unjustly condemned and recommended that he be restored to his see. When Wilfrid arrived back in England with letters from the Pope to this effect, he was supported by the archbishops and allowed to live the remaining years of his life in peace.
Before the 7th century ended, one of Wilfrid's converts was to make a spectacular gesture, which started a tradition in the century that followed. Caedwalla, king of the West Saxons, abdicated after only 2 years' reign and travelled to Rome to be baptised. For having learned, Bede tells us, that the road to heaven lies open to mankind only through baptism, he wished to obtain the particular privilege of receiving the cleansing of baptism at the shrine of the Blessed Apostles. At the same time, he hoped to die shortly after his baptism and pass from this world to everlasting happiness.
Caedwalla's wish was granted. He was baptized by Pope Sergius I on Holy Saturday, 689, and given the name of Peter. Only 10 days later, while still wearing his white baptismal robes, he fell ill and died.
He was buried in the loggia of Old St. Peter's, and his epitaph reads as follows.
Here was laid Caedwalla, also called Peter, King of the Saxons. A throne, riches, offspring, powerful kingdoms, home, all that the bravery of his forefathers, all that Caedwalla himself, mighty in war, had amassed, all these he forsook for the love of God, that he might behold Peter and the abode of Peter, he a royal stranger.
Thanks there to Jill Bevilacqua presenting episode 11 of The Vatican Centuries. And she'll be back on the air, of course, at the same time next week with episode 12.